as my daughter sits and stares at me nervous as I am. Just in life, you got to keep showing up. Just keep showing up. Forget the Grammys. You got to keep showing up until they give you all those accolades you feel you deserve. Until they call you chairman. Until they call you a genius. Until they call you the greatest of all time. You feel me?
Yo, what's up? It's your boy Monte. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the True Tone Show. I got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about Grammys. I'm going to talk about some storylines when it comes to the president. I want to recap the interview we just did. You know, I don't know how long this one's going to be, but we're going to get it today. All right, stick with me. We're going to talk. Thank you for joining me, and I'll see you guys on the other side. And we are back for another episode. It feels good. We've been running really good. How's your year looking so far? It's February. We're coming up. We got, 2 weeks left? It'll be like 2 weeks left when this episode drops. So hopefully your February is going well. And you're doing good, man. It's a good day. I am in the coldy place of Ohio right now. It's currently snowing. It's cold. I need some soup and some tea, maybe. Yeah, that sounds really good. Some tea. I hope you guys are having a great day. I just did an interview with Floyd Strickland, and I thought it would really be cool to kind of reflect and talk about it. These episodes are supposed to be much shorter than the interviews because those can be really, they're great, but they can be long, and I get that. Sometimes it's long content, sometimes it's short, and then these solo episodes are to kind of me meeting new people that want to check me out and get an idea of what the actual interview portions. That's where a lot of my focus goes into, is the interview side of the show. And then the solo ones is just me kind of experimenting and looking at just storylines and giving opinions about it. Cause sometimes people ask me, like, you know, what's your thoughts on this? And so that's why you will see, me being creative with titles of episodes and, you know, just to give y'all a little context of what exactly goes into the show. It's a lot of grunt work behind the scenes. The fun part is getting able to come on and talk about it and have an idea of what I want to share with you guys, the listeners. And hopefully, you know, most of the time you guys enjoy it and you guys tell me how you enjoy it. You'll give me feedback or you'll make, you know, make some comments or you'll share something. So I really appreciate all the support in that way. Floyd Strickland, artist LA, you know, he's done a lot of really cool things. You know, his journey has been one that is in stride. And what I mean by that is in the interview, he talked about, and I didn't even know this, you know, he talked about taking 10 years off of doing oil paintings and drawing and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes we may put our gift away under the bed and think that it's done, but it just means not yet. And I really appreciate Floyd coming on. His stuff is beautiful. I'm going to continue to put it up. You know, I've been putting it up on my page, and I will continue to stream some of it on the IG page, Amante Hall, and then TrueTonePod at gmail.com. If you got any questions for me or anything like that, Floyd's on there. I have not been shy about, you know, replaying or redistributing anything that comes on the show or anyone. So Floyd has some beautiful pieces, and I was really impressed with his cultural standpoint on community. And he's very focused on helping young people, and particularly painting young people and painting young black and brown children to give them the power that they need visually. And I've talked a lot about that on the show. And I want to say something too, because I got a comment about, you know, Monte, you have a lot of black people on your show. Those are the people who respond. You know, I can't force someone to come on who doesn't want to come on. And I try to get a very vast variety of people, and these are the people who respond. And maybe it's just destiny or fate, or it's God's way of saying, you know, those other people will come. But, you know, people, you know, making those comments, and it was made in a very, like, dark tone or whatever. I take this very serious. I try to go after all types of thinkers and creatives and authors and doctors and therapists. And, you know, you can only get who will work with you. So that's just my opinion on the matter. But anyway, back to Floyd. So he's started this to help students, you know, protect their image and have love for themselves. And I really, really sympathize with that. And it wouldn't happen if one of his friends, you know, they were renovating schools, elementary schools, and, you know, making them look good, or school districts, you know, kind of like the TV show Abbott Elementary that highlights the issues teachers face on a daily basis. I really, really appreciate Floyd giving back to the community in that way, so much that he had an opportunity to represent and show some of his pieces to the Lakers at their practice facility. You know, he talked about having Anthony Davis come on the show and, I mean, come on and, you know, basically buy some of his pieces. And I was like, man, that's beautiful. And I'm really happy that he had the opportunity to get that. And his stuff it's amazing. It's greatly detailed. The one piece I want to talk about, and I'm going to title this episode Super Rich Kids, is this piece with his daughter that he made. And she has this Louis Vuitton bag with some teddy bears in it. And it's such a distinct look. And, you know, I know people may look at it like, why you got your daughter already starting? No. Look, get away from that. It was more about what does a black kid carry when it comes to wealth, and what would that look like? And, you know, how to look studious and beautiful. And I just thought it was a real powerful image. And the bag just kind of like brightens that, because you can, it's not that you buy the Louis Vuitton bag, you know what I mean? It's that the character in which is able to sustain that lifestyle to get it, you know what I'm saying? And that's one of hard work, dedication, and some type of influence that gives you the revenue to be able to do that. And it's really cool. It means that most likely, you know, mom and dad is teaching that child some really good attributes, and as well as fun, you know, it's kind of fun. It's cute, you know, being able to do it in that way. So I was really thankful for that piece. Another piece that I really enjoyed, and he has a lot of beautiful pieces, and I really want y'all to go check that out. Floyd Strickland on IG, and you guys can really, really dig into that. The other one is The World Is Yours, and that's just his son. He has a bunch of, you know, flowers in the back of him, as well as some images, and he talked about that in the episode. And I really, really, really enjoyed that, and hopefully you guys could check that out as well. So I'm not bailing y'all out today with episode, like with videos. I want you guys to go listen to it, and I'm just going to talk about what I thought was really good points. He talked about in the episode the benefit of art on culture, and he didn't realize that when he was in school. And he talked about that so much is affected by art, billboards, you know, marketing, coffee shops, anything you can really think of, anything like newsletters, all your favorite websites have really beautiful artists that have worked on it, any type of fonts. And he just said he just didn't realize the market for it, and that really changed his mindset on what it could actually be. And I found that really beautiful, and it was very inspiring, you know, just the journey of life when it comes to something like that. It's not this lateral thing. It's kind of it's a boat in water, and it's up and down, and you know, crashes, and like, you know, you're progressing in the direction. Sometimes you don't know, and sometimes you progress towards land. And you know, I just really thought that was really cool, and I really appreciate him being very open and candid with me in the episode. The most powerful thing I felt from him was this idea of displaying healthy image. And you know, you guys have seen this, that content on my page about, you know, Floyd Strickland on why he draws young people. And it was literally to give them energy. It's literally to give them influence and give them something that, you know, they probably wouldn't have otherwise, you know. And who doesn't need like healthy influences in their life? And you know, I really appreciate Floyd doing that. Actually, I got the quote right here: to provide confidence to them. And I thought that was just like a really beautiful, you know, powerful statement for him. And he, you know, just to keep giving that to young people. He said this too, like one of his last things that he said is, you know, helping kids see themselves. And then he said, just to start, you know, that was his advice to any young people who wanted to do something, is, you know, just to start, you know, don't look otherwise, don't be upset, just start the thing. And so that was a great, great interview. I really appreciate Floyd coming on. Floyd, thank you so much, man. It was an honor to have you on the show. I can't wait to see what you do in the future, and keep doing your thing, dog. All right, so I want to talk a little bit. I watched this interview with Michelle Obama and Jay Shetty, and he has this real beautiful, you know, show that he does about mental health and wellness. And so he interviewed Michelle Obama, which that's a goal. And you know, this is, I want to talk a little bit about, since we're talking about super rich kids and we're talking about, you know, the artist Floyd Strickland and how he paints young people, I thought it'd be really cool to like talk about a little bit more in a different way.
You can't shut people out. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk about In the Light, when I think about kids from communities that are underinvested in, their anger, their lack of like, none of this belongs to me. So why would I protect it? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't I break down your house or rob you or try to take your car? Because I don't own any of this. This country is not mine. They don't see me, right? I think we do better with kids if they feel like I've got a chance here. This place is investing in me, mm-hmm. so I'm invested in it. We do that with kids in the inner city, but we don't talk about education. We don't talk about what we're giving them or whether they have music or joy or sports or activities. We just want them to have nothing and then be okay with
it. Yeah, and I felt a responsibility having Floyd on to talk about that. And I looking at different things, you know, life, you have this progression in life, and you kind of, you know, you're doing things, and it's crazy how sometimes things can really connect to other things. And like, you know, I just felt like this was so fitting to the conversation I had with Floyd. And he was just like, you know, a lot of the times kids who don't really respect their environment is because they feel like their environment doesn't respect them and their community doesn't respect them. And I thought Michelle Obama did such a great job at explaining, like, how do we really sow community with young people? And you are more likely to clean up your neighborhood if you feel connected to it and you feel responsible for it. You're more likely to protect your block if you feel like your block has something to do with you, outside of just laying your head there or having a house there. And, you know, I thought that was really, really tangible information from her, as well as this is why, you know, we can't strip away everything from young people and expect them to be okay with it and then not get in trouble too, and expect them to be thriving people who are vibrant, creative, and coming up with new things that will progress life. We have to be intentional about cultivating an environment that is conducive for them to produce life, to produce more things. And the way you do that is by giving music, is by giving them sports, is by giving them access to business minds, giving them access to creative robotics so that they could come up with new equipment to help the medical field, or, you know, whatever revolutionary equipment that comes out of that. But, you know, I think that's really important to dive into. And I really appreciate her thoughts. Whatever you feel about Michelle Obama, which I think she's real classy, and we even talked about that in the interview, me and Floyd, and very, very just classy individual. And she's another, you know, powerhouse leader that I think in some lights she shines brighter than Obama, which is crazy because he was the president. Another aspect, and it's all about, you know, motivating and connecting. We talked about image, and now we're talking about giving students an opportunity to grow. And I've spent a lot of my life working with young people, probably since I was maybe 12 or 13. I was just some type of capacity serving, helping. And I really do care about young people. Young people are our way to get a compass on the future early. And, you know, we have the opportunity of the generation before them is to set them up with success. And the way we do that is just pay attention and see the need and give them the tools and be the counsel that they need to make better decisions that, you know, the previous generation couldn't, or carry the torch in a way the previous generations and couldn't, or would not, or had it, didn't have the opportunity to see it the way the coming generation is. And I like to use people who have influence and, you know, they just have this motivational concept to them, or this motivational way to them. And there's another guy who, a man, leader, coach, just bigger than life kind of personality, Deion Sanders. He talked about the motivation and how you can get that motivation for yourself and keep moving forward. So I want to play this clip. He was at, I think it was like Super Bowl weekend.
What made me who I am today is that hunger and that thirst and that focus and want to retire my mama. I mean, because I didn't have it like that in college until I started picking up a baseball bat. But I don't want those kids to lose that passion for the game. And that's what a lot of people are scared of.
All right, Prime.
Yeah, and he was talking a little bit more about players getting paid in college and, you know, all the stuff will come if you take care of your job, obviously. And but the key out of all of the stuff I've talked about so far, and there's a vast age of people that listen to the show, from the Saints and from all the way, like I'm talking about seasoned adults all the way down to young people in high school and a little bit of elementary. So there's a vast range of people that listen to the show, and I'm really thankful. And it's international. Let me tell you that it's international. So the biggest thing you want to take away from this is motivation. Follow your passions, pay attention to what you're paying attention to, and you will truly thrive if you find a way to pay attention to the things that you love. There's always a market. And what I realized is, you know, talking to a lot of people right now, is they never knew that the thing that they were really, really in love with could sustain their way of life. And that's the thing. If you can find a way to do what you love and to be paid for it, to provide for your life and live the lifestyle you're trying to live, that then you're winning. You know, there's nothing else about that. So it's just a lot of good stuff. If you guys noticed in the beginning, I played this clip of the Grammys, and there was a lot of storylines and there was a lot of chatter. And I wanted to put my $55,000 cent into the pot. And so I played, you know, Jay-Z's performance. You know, his speech was really cool. And he talked about, Jay-Z talked about, you know, keep moving. If you really are passionate about something, and no matter what they say, keep doing it. Don't worry about it. Don't listen to them until one day they pay attention to you. And that message, looking now, like having some days after, and, you know, trying to digest what happened. So Killer Mike won best rap album of the year, and people were upset. People don't know who Killer Mike is. He's kind of like a hip hop activist, and he's always trying to educate you in his lyrics. He, you know, one of his best albums that he just dropped, he had Andre 3000 on it. The song was Science and Engineers. It was a nice track. I mean, sonically, it was incredible. But if you guys get the opportunity to check it out, go ahead. But there was a couple things that came out of that, and that was Killer Mike getting to accept his album on live TV versus in, you know, there's a live audience there. There's a couple of dynamics that I've kind of like put together. You know, Jay-Z going up and talking about some of y'all don't belong in this category. it was like yikes. And he, you know, obviously trying to get his wife some glow because she's never won album of the year, which is wild. I have my own thoughts on that. But, you know, I went and watched, you know, Trevor Noah talked about it on his show, and a lot of people were criticizing, like, you could only, there's so many categories, you can only get so many up at the time. And, but hip hop is big, and hip hop is massive, and hip hop is the thing. It's like, people go to watch the Grammys to listen to who wins hip hop album of the year. Like, you can't miss that. You got to put that on the front of the show almost, you know what I'm saying? Like, and Trevor Noah has a guy on his show, and I can't think of the dude's name, but he helps set up how the Grammys is going to perform. And I found that interesting because he gives a statement on like, well, we have all these different categories. We have country and indie and all these different things, and we got to give everyone an opportunity to be seen. Everybody, how do you pick? But, you know, my personal opinion is they probably knew who was going to win. They were probably afraid of what Killer Mike would say because he's a very activist type of personality. And he's not, he definitely will speak his mind. But what a big moment they missed. And there was rumors that like Jay-Z wanted to bring Killer Mike on and just talk to him during his speech. But what happened behind the scenes is like Killer Mike got arrested for, I don't even know that. That whole thing is like, that's odd. I think they did that because they didn't want him to talk. That was weird for me. That really was. That was like a weird kind of thing for me. I was like, what is going on here, man? Wasn't a good look either. Killer Mike, I'm happy for him that he won. He, if people don't know, he is massive in Atlanta. You know, they got Future. You got Outkast. You got, I mean, you got Donald Glover with Atlanta. You got some big people. Killer Mike is up there. And if you go just check him out, just listen to his music. It's hip hop. And Kendrick has his verse. Like, you know, if people really cared about true hip hop, then Killer Mike would be da da da, you know? And it's the truth, because he's a true representation of what hip hop was supposed to be and what is and what is going to be. So I like music, so I'm always paying attention to that. Did I watch the whole Grammys? No. There's another aspect of like people have been talking about hosting and for the host, how hard it is. And I think Trevor Noah did a good job, a great job, honestly. And it sounds like a great opportunity, but it sounds like something you got to have a very unique set of skills. And it seems like the best of them just flop, you know? So Trevor seems to have such a great job at doing that and hosting the show. I want to talk about SZA's album. That was culturally one of, I heard that album legit everywhere. If you would go to a hotel, you would go to any type of apartment complex, like I would hear SZA's album. And I don't understand why she didn't get more or any type of recognition. Like SZA's album was incredible, and I felt like she should have won. And I think she got played, man. Like, let me look it up real quick. SZA, all right, so let me see. She got all right, let me see. I should have had this already. But okay, so it says SZA's massive year continues. It's not like saying how many she won, though. But she didn't get Album of the Year, and I felt like SZA should have got Album of the Year. Okay, so it said she had a leading 9 nominations heading into the show, and SZA claimed a victory in 3 different categories. Best Rap and R&B Song, Snooze, Best Progressive Rap and R&B Album, SOS, and Best Pop Duo / Group Performance in Ghost in the Machine, which was, I don't think I heard that one. But she should have won Best Album, period. She should have won that. And I think, who won it? I can't remember who won. Oh, yeah, Taylor. Man, come, listen to me, man. I'm going to say something. All right? I know Taylor Swift has been the highlight of the Super Bowl and all this. Everybody, that stuff is annoying, bro. It was super annoying. Like, I don't care. I just want, like, got to breathe a little bit before I say something. I get myself in trouble. But SZA's album was culturally identified as a classic, right? And beautiful songs. She got a song on there called Kill Bill, which is sick. The music video is tight. I was just really impressed with SZA and thankful that she made music. And she got this real cool interview with the Apple Music guy, and it's driving me nuts because I like him so much and I listen to him all the time. But if you want to check him out, she has an interview on Apple Music and she talks about being shy and, you know, not, that's why she doesn't do a lot of interviews. And he was able to get a lot of her. I can't think of his name right now. This is just the worst. He's a heavyweight too. He's like a DJ. Let's see, SZA. I want to give this to y'all. SZA interview on Apple TV with yeah, she talks about her tour. It was a real beautiful interview. Zane Lowe. Okay, Zane. Yeah, I didn't even say his name right. But Zane, yeah, she did a good job on that, and he pulled a lot of her. So Taylor Swift is winning based off of her bigness, her vastness, her audience. And she has mass appeal, man. I mean, Taylor Swift brings revenue to cities. Cities make money when she comes there. Companies, brands make money. She does business great. I mean, you know how people always talk about the Drake effect? Taylor Swift effect is, you know, darn near just as much or equal to Drake's. They both heavyweights. And it's just they tend to, like, in their own way, kind of overpopulate things and, you know, overtake things and drown things out with them. And it's very commercialized. But, like, I'm sorry. I just don't think Taylor Swift's album was up to SZA's. I just don't. I think SZA's album was incredible. You know, Taylor won that award based off of being Taylor Swift. And I don't know. I those are the things that's kind of like bothers me in the Grammys. Like, it just feels like where the vote's going to and how important is it, the music culture thing, really, and not about fairness, but what's right. So, and look, I'm not a Taylor Swift hater. I don't want y'all emailing me and all that trap. Like, I don't want all that. Leave me alone. I'm not saying Taylor's very, she's very gifted. She's clearly doing something right. She is a great artist. But that's a great transition into, like, I don't really want Taylor Swift. I don't want to see her while I'm watching Super Bowl. I don't want to see her while I'm watching football. Leave me alone. Stop trying to indoctrinate me with randoms. I want to watch football. You know what I'm saying? Like, and speaking about the football, the Kansas City Chiefs won again. Pat Mahomes. I'm sick of talking about Taylor, so we're not going to talk about her. And some of the storylines coming in about the Super Bowl, Pat Mahomes being the villain, you know, kind of like with Steph Curry becoming the villain after winning so many championships. And we start to love the winners and then we start to hate them because they've been winning too long and we want something new and fresh or whatever. But I like Pat Mahomes, and I was kind of leaning towards the 49ers at one point, and then I was like, nah, it's Pat Mahomes. I want Pat to win. Go Pat. And some of the narratives were just like, they didn't have anything to attack him for outside of, you know, if they can't attack you, they'll attack your family. If they can't attack your family, then they'll pull up some old stuff. And if they can't find something old, then they'll create some narrative. And, you know, the narrative was, you know, they're not the same. The Chiefs, they don't got it. They, you know, and then they made it all the way to the Super Bowl. What a great, great opportunity to showcase that you them dogs. Ooh, you know what I'm saying? Like, and they did that. And, you know, a lot was made of Travis Kelce, tight end, you know, pushing into Coach Andy Reid. And it wasn't a good look live. And it's still not. I think as a player, because I play football, your passions get high. I've seen that happen numerous times with guys. It's on the biggest stage, the biggest views, the most talked about. And you're seeing the superstar do that to a superstar head coach. And, you know, it's a lot's been made about it. And Travis has come out. The coach has kind of downplayed it. You don't want to do stuff like that. But I do get the passion. And they're talking about he should be cut. Come on, leave it. Stop all that. You know, yeah, screaming your coach's face doesn't look good. But at the end of the day, we weren't there and we haven't seen it. So y'all need to leave him alone. How y'all feel Usher did? What y'all think about Usher? Usher's been an icon, legend. You know, I know he owns a percentage of the Cavs. He wanted a chip with the Cavs. But people don't understand that he had stock in the Cavs when they were bad. Like, I mean, really bad. So that's definitely a lesson about, you know, jump in early to get long-term benefits. But the Super Bowl halftime show with Usher was cool. I don't know if it wasn't the best. It wasn't better than the Bruno Mars one. It wasn't better than Lady Gaga one. And it wasn't better than the one with Kendrick Lamar and Dre. That one was really good. It was a solid performance. This dude has strippers, bro. He has strippers on post. You know how awkward that was to see that? It was real subtle. I ain't like that. But all in all, it was a good experience. The Super Bowl was nice. The halftime show was really smooth. I like the outfit. I like that he brought on Ludacris. He brought Alicia Keys on. Hey, man, this he's made a brand out of stealing people's girls live. And guy's not doing nothing about it. And I was just like, somewhere, Swiss Beats, that's her husband, legendary producer, made a lot of dope hits. Somewhere he's texting saying, I'm about to have a conversation with Usher. And but they do got some hits together. I know a lot of people wanted to hear Justin come on. I like Justin Bieber, man. I like some of his music. You know, I like him more than Taylor Swift. How about that? There you go. I feel like I did a good job explaining that. But Justin got some nice music. And I like seeing Justin create other things. But anyway, back to Usher. Usher did a great job in the Super Bowl. Was really proud for him. One of the narratives that came out that said Usher needed the Super Bowl because he was losing audience. I don't agree with that. It's Usher. He always been big. If you guys want to check out his Tiny Desk, that was pretty, it was pretty amazing. It was pretty viral. And Usher delivers, man. He's a true performer. So shout outs to him. Happy for him. All in all, I thought the Super Bowl was pretty entertaining. It had both defense and offensive going. I'm excited to see. I don't have any predictions right now outside. I want to see the Cleveland Browns in the Super Bowl. I want to see them. I want to see the Cleveland Browns in the Super Bowl. I do not want to see the 49ers and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl next year. But guess what? Y'all got to stop them. NFL, you got to stop them. You don't want to see them next year in the Super Bowl? You got to stop them. You got to beat them. They are the team to beat. You don't want to see them in the Super Bowl next year. You got to stop them. You don't want to see them three-peat. Shut them up. Right? You remember when people were getting on Cam Newton? He's dancing. He's doing the Superman flex in the end zone. Defense, shut him up. Like, stop him. Don't let him in there. That's how you beat him. That's how you beat them. Don't let that curly-head magician dog your whole defense, make him look like it's street ball with elementary kids. Don't let that curly head magician, what I'm talking about, he is making music. He be making music, doing tricks. I mean, goodness gracious, I see him roll out the pocket to the left and it's beauty. Don't let him do that. Come on, defensive coordinators. Stop Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. It's only two players anyway. I'm just kidding. I'm, I'm, least that we get in trouble. Pacheco's a good player. I like that running back. All right, let's talk about Uncle Biden. Let's talk about President Joe Biden. There's a bunch of narratives coming out. This is this election year. There's a lot going on. It's scary. And all you know, me just joking, calling him Uncle Biden, but it's extremely scary to have a president who doesn't seem to know what's going on. That is scary. Like, my man needs help getting off stage. He has special shoes so he don't fall down. They literally lock him in place. He doesn't have teleprompters. He has people pointing to the teleprompters. That's not good. And to have someone represent us, America, is scary. I don't like this. And one of the narratives that's coming out is all the stories surrounding him, people close to him saying, yo, he shouldn't be president right now. They need to just allow Kamala Harris. Oops, I said that. Let her run until we figure out this president thing for the next years to come. But, you know, the stories coming out, if you listen to his press conferences, you listen to him addressing the media in the media room, it's not good. Mr. President, do you think your memory is affected? And then he starts talking about some random stuff. It's not a good look. What are we going to do, people? What are we going to do? Make sure y'all vote. We need y'all to vote. I know. Oh, man. Whew. Listen to Michelle Obama talk about she's concerned about this year's election. We all concerned. That's a nice word. Concerned. That's a real nice word. I'm terrified. What you mean concerned? I'm terrified. I know people think paying attention to the government is a rich person sport. It's not. Big government does affect little government, and little government does affect community and stuff like that. But we got to know what's going on to some level. I'm not saying you need to know the intricate details of every single bill that's passed, but the presidency does have power and influence, and that role does do a lot for everyone. So people who think it doesn't matter and it's just a puppet seat, that is a false thing. But there is valid questions to be asked about who is actually running things while our president is mentally taking naps. And, you know, I know that sounds really mean, but the reality is I'm not really a fan of this. No way. Not a fan of this. I hope we figure this out. You know, I think they need to let him retire. Can you retire a president? How does that work? Impeachment sounds violent. Let's just let him go be an older person. And not saying older people don't have wisdom, but his 80 looks old. It looks real old. It looks unconscious. It looks troublesome. It's not good. And this is not me trying to rag on the president. I don't like the narrative and the idea that, you know, it's been smooth on him. He's been looked at. Man, he was on trial, and the person who was accusing him calls him an elderly man, a nice elderly man who doesn't recall anything. So how can we hold him accountable? Does that sound like someone who should be running the country? The world almost? Does that sound like someone you should have in that seat? A nice old man who doesn't remember. We can't charge him like the former President Trump. We can't charge him because at least he remembers. He's pretty conscious. But we can't charge him, this current president, because he don't remember. But you got him making decisions. He has access to nuclear weapons. Come on. Come on. Stop playing with me. Stop it. Get somebody come get him. I think his family just needs to respectfully tell him, you were able to be president. This was your life's dream. You've done it. It's time to be concerned about the country. And I'll leave it at that. I don't mean to be doom and gloom. I think we're headed in a good direction. I'm not worried about America, but I am watching, and hopefully you are too. And man, later this year, it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of all of this. And I'm not necessarily, what's the word I'm looking for? I pay attention to politics. It is interesting. I do watch debates. I do watch a lot of things that they try to pass, and I try to have a conscious vein for it. You know what I'm saying? But it's not like a passion outside of when it really affects people. So I really do care about that. And I will, in the future, I plan to bring some more people to talk about it, some political heads, and bring them on the show and have conversations with them. So this has been a great episode. It's talked about a lot, and hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Thank you for coming on. And as always, was there truth to this conversation or was it just noise? I'll let you decide. Till next week, email me truetonepod@gmail.com, Monte Hall on Gmail, on IG. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace. Do 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 do